You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, let's go. 7.5 minutes past the hour. Rick and Bubba show, a brand new hour. Kickoff hour done. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, Helmsy, completed. They are here. Eddie Van Adler joins us now, taking over the YouTube channel. He'll give you the live experience. He'll archive the show for you today. He'll put together a best of hour for Blaze TV subscribers. Hello to all of you that join us via that platform. Hello to all of you on America's boldest radio stations on the Rick and Bubba Radio Network. Thank you for being with us today. For those of you with no affiliate and YouTube's not your choice, if you're streaming the show on the Rick and Bubba 24/7 TuneIn app, welcome to you. Glad you're here. If you're catching us on a podcast audio archive today, welcome to you. However you're here, live or archived, we are glad. We are missing one, the silver tongue one, the man with a golden voice, professional lunch eaters man of the year, the inventor of pizza in a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master at a king's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bassett!
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere, welcome in to the little party called Rick and Bubba, where you're always invited.
Hold the line.
Love isn't always on time.
No, no, no. And there's Toto. And Bubba, you were just discussing watching a documentary that has indirectly some Toto in it.
Yeah, I don't know how long that's been out. I'm probably really late to the curve on this, but Betty and I were watching Thriller 40 last night.
It's a good one.
How long ago was that?
I think it's just recently came out.
It's right.
I don't know if it's the second run, but I saw it on Stars.
Where you have to be careful is there's a Thriller documentary that's been out for a while.
Right? Yeah, the making of Thriller.
Yeah, and the making of Thriller. And then and that may be where I'm confused. I'm not even sure I've seen it. Well, have I?
Well, they covered the making of Thriller in this.
They did. Because MTV did that to get their investment.
Yeah, you've seen it.
I saw it recently.
It was really intriguing because it was a lot of interviews and behind the scenes things I had not seen before, and that was the thing they talked about that Thriller. First off, we'll just have to talk about the whole thing. It was funny.
Yep.
Michael Jackson was mad that Off the Wall did not get more awards than it did.
Yeah.
And he thought it was going to be. You know, you take home a bucket, and he got like one. It made him mad. So he said, I'm about to create the album that will change history forever. And he set out to do it.
And
he was mad. And he was mad about it. And they said in the thing that the thing had already sold 3 or 4 million copies.
Oh, yeah.
It was already a huge success before the Thriller video ever came out. And he had told them that he was a huge fan of Werewolves in London, that John Landis did. And he called him up and wanted to do the video. And they said, well, you know, most videos have a budget of about $50,000. And that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And Michael laid out what he wanted to do, which was a short movie. And Landis said, look, we're talking about $1.2 million at least. And so, the record company, they wanted the next album. They said, this is fine. Thriller's been great. We're going to do it. He says, oh, no, we're not done with Thriller yet. We're going to keep releasing things. And they went to MTV, sold them the rights to a documentary called The Making of Thriller. And you know the price tag they charged them? $1.2 million.
Yeah.
They took that money, financed the actual making of it. And then after it hit, it sold millions
MTV
and millions and millions and more.
Big.
MTV come out ahead. The movie the record company come out ahead. Michael came out ahead. So it was the whole thing about how they did that and the thing that was funny to me, Rick, was in the studio. they did want to be starting something was the first one they recorded. And this guy that worked at the studio said, you know, I heard them playing down the hall, but, you know, we have all these legends come in, Westwood there in L.A. And he said, we had these studio musicians who'd played on some of the greatest hits of all time, played with some of the greatest artists of all time. And he said, they came out of the studio that night, and they were shaking their head, and they had a look about them. And I was like, what's going on? He said, we've seen something that we've never seen before. So this is going to be a game changer.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just funny to hear them talking about it.
And they pointed out, like they did in the making of We Are the World, about how Michael doesn't play an instrument. So he writes the songs with his mouth, just the sounds.
Yeah. Can I say that blew me away that he doesn't play any
instruments? Of putting down what he's, yeah. But he's writing the song.
Yeah.
Well, he's just making the sound, the melody that he wants and all that.
I told y'all this before, but it fits here perfectly, is, and some of you may have missed it. So I have a friend, Mark Garnett, that has seen every concert the world has ever released, and he's seen every band ever in any venue, no matter how old they get and how small the audience gets, he's there. And he went to a Toto concert, and if you bought one of these VIP tickets, you know, that sell for hundreds of dollars or whatever, you get there early, and they actually, in the sound check, do Thriller. And they played the songs they all played on. And he said it's really fun to watch them do that. Because they were the musicians that did a lot of it.
Yeah. And they had this old guy. He was a studio musician guy. Mm. And I can't even remember his name. But, I mean, he was old, looked like us. You know, he's half bald. He's, got a dad bod. You know what I mean.
He didn't look like me.
He's old. And he's in the studio. He says, yeah, we started here with 118. Here was the click thing. And we had a little
It showed him do
that. Yeah, and then he went over and said, let's try this. And said, hey, I think we got
some. I love it. It's harder to find. That's cool. I told Bubba it's harder to find, and I can't even remember what platform I saw it on, but they also have the making of Off the Wall, and it's very good.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
I've seen it, too.
It's real good. It's harder to find.
It is.
And then, of all crazy things, you have by far this largest selling album of all time that just rewrote the book on how you do things, and there was never a tour to support it.
I know, because he made Joe, with his brothers.
Guess who made that up? Joe messed that up.
Joe came in and said, you know, Michael, you got to take care of the family now. You got to rest out. You know, but I've got a deal. We're going to do the victory tour. And you see them performing, and, you know, as good as they were.
It was a good show, but they were holding him back.
The show was better when they left the stage and let him back.
They were holding him back. Willie did all of his Thriller stuff in that show.
Yeah, he did. And you know who was watching one of those concerts and it made him want to go into music at Madison Square Garden?
Bruno Mars.
Little bitty Lenny Kravitz.
Okay. I was close, wasn't I?
Made him want to go into music.
Sort of.
Yeah. Very close.
Sort of. I don't know how that's close.
Both little.
We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba. Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Well, spring is here, and I don't know. I know a lot of you live in different places, but us here in the Deep South, I mean, the flowers and the trees, and they're just we've gone through and are still going through one of the most beautiful times of the year. But there's nothing worse for that beautiful time of year to show up, and you don't really have the expertise. You want to have nice things. You don't have the green thumb. Your trees are not doing well, and so your plants are not doing well. Well, why don't you call in the experts? That's what we've done, and we have seen huge results because they know what they're doing, and then we can just enjoy having access to their expertise. And I'm talking about fast-growing trees. Fast-growing trees. Go ahead right now and just kind of jot this down, fastgrowingtrees.com. And then I want you to hang on at checkout to the code Bubba. Here's what makes them so great. They have everything you could possibly ever want. Don't go out there and say you want to take on fruit trees and not talk to them. Palm trees, evergreens, house plants, whatever you're interested in, they have it. They'll ship it right to you. But here's where they help you. They find out where you live. They're experts on the climate. They know the trees and the plants that will thrive where you are, and they are always available to you for any questions to make sure you're not throwing your money away. raise your hand if you've gone out and bought trees or plants and just thrown the money away because you didn't know how to, you didn't know what to do with them and they didn't do well. Hands are up everywhere. So why don't you now use the experts? And we'll save you an additional 15% off their already incredible prices. They'll talk to you about your soil type, landscape design, how to take care of the plants, everything you need. There is no green thumb required. You just need them. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com, use the code Bubba at checkout. They will ship these right to your door. They are guaranteed to be in good condition, and they are fresh, and you will love them. Fastgrowingtrees.com, the code Bubba, offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Military, so that part's easy, but listen to this. It says, hey, Rick, I just want to let you know that lifelong listener, my brother Hunter, is currently aboard the USS Kearney. He said that is the most combat-decorated ship since World War II.
Wow.
He recently learned that their deployment was being extended, and right now the boys are in port, and they're able to sit down and get updated on all the podcast archives. If y'all could give those, Greg, guess I didn't know this. You know they were called this. If you could give those salty dogs a shout-out.
Never knew where that came from.
I know it would give them a much-needed morale boost.
Rick, how about this?
How about that?
Hello, salty dogs!
That's pretty good.
So,
I love it.
Hey, thank you guys for what y'all have done, continue to do, and thank you for being fans of the show. And I'm glad you guys are getting a much-needed stop in port, but your deployment has been extended, and we thank you for always answering that call.
That's great.
We sleep well at night knowing you're on the job.
Hello, salty dog.
Speaking of the Navy, I think those guys could definitely use a little morale boost. Did y'all hear about that picture that the U.S. Navy put out on their social media?
Yes.
Of the admiral shooting the gun?
No.
This photo right here is unbelievable, you guys. There's just so many things. I said admiral. I got to look it up while I'm showing you guys the picture.
Yeah, I have seen this.
This photo, there's so much wrong in the photo.
Mm-hmm.
The scope is on backwards. The rest is way above his shoulder. His elbow is way out. Like, this is in the wrong spot. There are so many things wrong.
Why are you doing this right now?
And it went, well, because they know. The guys that are listening to the show and that are in the Navy, they know. But this shows some of the problems that are up in the ranks. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I'm not a weapons expert, but the the optic is backwards. The lens caps are on. The grip is his stance is all kinds of wrong.
Show me again, Adam.
Sure. And he's looking through the optics with his shades on. It's just there's just so much wrong with it.
Do you think
it's
a Photoshop gone bad?
This is from the U.S. Navy posted this on their
Adam,
social media.
Thanks for bringing that up during a great show.
Good night.
On their social media.
Hello.
We just gave the salty dogs a shout out.
Good great.
I'm excluding them from this. They know what's wrong with it.
Salty dogs know.
Right, yeah.
The salty dogs. Yeah.
This should have been when we made fun of Biden later.
Thank you.
I mean, not right now.
That's I'm trying to pick. Okay. I was.
Okay.
They're like, yeah. That's what I think.
That's what they're doing?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What are the salty dogs doing right now?
They're like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
You got them.
Okay.
That's right, all salty dogs.
So anyway.
Y'all talked about the Navy. I'm sorry. I wanted to
see that explains something, because I saw something. You know, all these things roll by when now you can't get away from them. They're throwing stuff at you all the time. And I saw some guy in the Army was making fun of that picture, and I didn't even know what he was talking about. Bubba, Arkansas welcomed their new basketball coach yesterday in a massive press conference. I don't know. I didn't see it live, but I think I saw maybe them rerunning it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you, have you seen the crowd react to when they acknowledged John Tyson from Tyson Foods?
Oh, boy, don't that, you know he wrote
you know,
a big
that week. Place yeah. went – he had to stand up like three times to take a bow like he was coming out of the dugout.
Did you mention him yesterday when you were talking about the supporters, Arkansas?
No, Jerry no, Jones? No. I forgot about him.
The emailers had said, hey, the biggest one is Tyson.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
You just had Tyson and the Waltons you covered.
Yeah, so that
yeah, think about that.
But
wow.
Apparently, Mr. Tyson said, I'll make this happen.
Yeah, so they're giving him credit for
it. And when they said his name at the press conference, the place went crazy.
So how much did they? What was the deal? What did they announce?
Do we have the deal on Coach
Everybody
Cal?
Know what the as much deal chicken is. As I eat, I'm kind of in on it.
Yeah.
You're actually up hiring.
Yeah. I made a lot of time.
So Calipari had his first appearance.
It was funny, Rick, yes. Because he pointed out something that's very obvious and where he's starting the program at.
Yeah.
So he's going to make $7 million plus $500 retention payment.
Okay.
$500,000.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So is this him saying the famous quote now?
Yeah. Listen to the press conference.
It's a 5-year, $38 million deal.
You know what? I'm jacked about another opportunity. Like, I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team. So now I got to. Oh my Hunter's God. Really extremely confident, but we got to get a roster together. And some of it. It's a little bit of everything, but we will. It may take a little longer because there are kids that put their name in the NBA draft that are going to go through.
Okay, so he's talking about, I got to deal with all so that.
He's got to wait for who gets overlooked, then he can go get them.
I met with a team. There is no team.
There is no team.
The room was empty.
You know, I told you we got our little hub of Rick and Bubba fanatics in Arkansas, and they put under that quote, at least he's a straight shooter.
Yep. You know, yeah, he didn't try to.
They
you
also
had to call the hogs.
I've done it. You called the hogs.
Yeah, my granddad used to have him. I'd go out there and I'd do Suey. Oh yeah,
little Bill doing Suey.
That's what Sherry said. Sherry said her relatives would add pig to it. Suey pig. Right. All right, here's
it come.
Yeah, you have the John Tyson part.
It's just a standing O.
You think they don't love chicken?
They have just said his name and he's about to stand up.
Watch the reaction.
And he gets a standing O.
That's the Tyson guy.
Yeah, they love him.
John Tyson.
Look at that crowd. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Y'all, this is just for the guy that gave the money.
Wow.
he's not wearing red.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Well, he's John Tyson. He didn't have to. But he's, well, and then the other thing, Adler, it was in the team, Rick and Bubba group text. This funny shirt that is becoming very, very popular in Arkansas, because you know Calipari, you know, is kind of a love hate relationship.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you were playing against him, you didn't care for him at all.
Yeah. So they have a T-shirt that has "I've always hated," which is marked out, replaced with "Love, Coach Cal."
Yeah. Right.
Well,
you know, it's kind of funny.
He's their guy now.
On his contract, because you asked, and I was kind of looking at it. He's going to receive. He received a $1 million signing bonus. He's set to receive $8 million for his first year, and then it's going to be an annual compensation of $7 million plus $500,000 retention payments for seven-year contract. But what's weird is that he left behind a contract in which he was set to make $8.5 million for 2024-25 and $9 million for each of the next 4 years with Kentucky. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, if he would have left, if they would have fired him, they would have owed him $30
million. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because he left on his own, they didn't owe him anything.
Yeah, just kind of, I guess he really did want to change the scenery.
Yeah,
he did.
But if he's fired without cause, he would be owed 75% of the remaining annual compensation.
All right, let's talk about cause. So that's always important. So would calls be I'm not winning?
No.
It has to be something.
Calls would be illegal activity, immoral something, codes of the university.
Avoids the contract.
And if he terminates the contract and says, okay, I'm leaving Arkansas early and I'm out. I'm going to go to another job. He would owe Arkansas $6 million. So that's kind of some numbers here in some of the stories today.
Well, you know, he won at Kentucky, won a national championship, at least one, right? How many did he win there? One? Was it first year, second year?
Third or fourth.
You know, it's such a historic program that does so well every year. But I mean, I got to know him better when he was at Memphis. You know, that's where he, you know, and Memphis was a national power. And you see, they're not in the discussion now, but they were a Final Four regular there for a while when he was coaching.
Yeah.
Well, the statement, you know, there is no team.
that's funny.
It feels a little bit. Now, was it said that way? Now, I'm not comparing him to Coach Saban, so don't hear me say that. Save your email. But when Coach Saban got to the University of Alabama, it was in horrible shape. And if you remember, he started the process of, I must replace these players with other players.
Yep.
and he would help others, you know, if they want to transfer somewhere. In those days, it was much more difficult. Yeah, right.
Yeah. All too well.
Yeah. And that's because, you know, when you get paid this kind of money, you're expected to win, and you have a formula that you know how to win. And if you get to a program that's not winning, then you're going to have to change the way they're currently doing things.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it was working, you wouldn't be there.
Yeah. You got to change. I mean, I think that's obvious. I mean, you don't change for change's sake, but obviously if it's not working, something's not right.
Yeah.
So he won in 2012.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he went to the Final Four six times. And in 96, 2008, 2011, these asterisks on 96 and 2008 says that they were vacated.
2008 was Memphis. Remember the player that Jalen, was it Jalen Rose? It wasn't Jalen Rose, was it? I don't remember who it was, but there was a player that went on to do great things in the NBA that there were some things there. And then 96, I think, was a UMass. I think he's at UMass. He's been successful everywhere he's gone, but there's also been a little controversy everywhere he goes.
I remember Keith Lee dominating at Memphis. I know that.
And Penny Hardaway.
You remember him?
Was it Penny?
Penny Hardaway. Rick and Bubba, top of the hour. Rick and Bubba. So we also have a Rick and Bubba University, the podcast that we will record today. Really excited. We're going to talk to author Michael Waller. The book's called Big Intel. This is exactly what we've been wondering about, and he has probably some news and information that'll make us uncomfortable. And this is the subtitle, and this is what we're going to discuss this weekend on RBU, how the CIA and FBI went from Cold War heroes to deep state villains.
Yeah.
And we've got some stories.
Do we want to do that?
We got some stories today. where this January 6th thing, we've got some people running their mouth and talking about how, hey,
I don't want my computer to shut down before the end of the year.
I know.
What are you doing?
We will just say this is his opinion in his book. Bubba and I are not part of this.
I'm not feeling well. I may need to leave.
We may not be able to do that. But anyway, so catch that this weekend. Also, yesterday's Wednesday Bible Study archive is available to you on our YouTube channel or our podcast channel, whichever you prefer. All right. So, Bubba, we do have, starting this hour, we do have a Trump update as we get ever closer. Trump.
About Trump. Yeah, baby, about Trump. About Trump. Yeah, baby, about Trump.
All right, so Trump roared into the ATL, Hotlanta, and caused quite a stir at a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. We have this. You're going to see him starting off as he comes into the Chick-fil-A and causes pandemonium. Here we go.
Can I have 30 milkshakes and also some chicken? I'm going to take care of the customers. Is business good? You making a lot of money? You're getting rich, right? Thanks very much. Look at the way you hope. You like each other, right?
So Trump walks in and orders 30 milkshakes.
30 milkshakes.
And some chicken.
And some chicken.
And said he wanted to pay for all the customers in there, too.
Yeah, so 30 milkshakes and chicken for everybody in here. And the people were coming in there by droves.
Now get ready. He will be accused of trying to tamper with the jury pool. That'll be next.
Yeah.
Because he was in Atlanta buying food for people.
Here's the next one. He interacts with people who are hollering, "We support you, Trump." Here we go.
So I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump. We support you.
We support you, Mike.
Okay, 4 p.m. We've been 4 p.m.
Come here. Let me give you a
hug. And there's the picture of the day from the Trump campaign.
There it is.
I hate to play those kind of things, but if they get a picture of a black woman hugging Trump saying, whatever everybody says, we support you, that one's going to the front.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you see people there, you know, ethnicity doesn't seem to matter. You see black and white people together saying, don't believe all these narratives out there. We support you.
It's like at the Red Barn.
In Atlanta.
You know, black and white people together buying furniture.
There you I forgot about that line.
At the Red Barn.
Here comes 3C. The crowd will erupt when he says he's about to get rid of Biden. Here we go.
Yeah, can my friend Don get in one too? She's fundraising.
Come on in.
Yes,
Caitlin.
Taking pictures.
Biden.
Yeah.
Bye,
Biden.
Bye, sleepy. He is the worst president.
president in the history of the United States, and he's horrible to the black community. Like it or not, he treats the black community bad. And check out his record in the 1990s. Check out his record in the
1990s. You're economically what's for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, opportunities.
Opportunity yep.
Best job numbers ever.
The first step egg. Let's talk about it.
And again, the colleges and universities. Yeah. Right? Yeah. At least you get the whole thing now.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you.
Wow. So you hear everybody agreeing with him, and what did they keep saying? Your economy was better for us.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
I can't.
I mean, he goes right to the heart mm-hmm. of what should yeah. be enemy territory, and yeah. he's love.
Yeah.
We forget he walked into North Korea. Mm-hmm. He met Kim Jong-un on the border and said, can I walk into the country, and walked in. Most presidents don't want to go anywhere close to that place. The DMZ maybe, and look through, you know, binoculars 30 miles over into North Korea. Yeah. He goes up to the line and says, can I walk in? I mean, it's just a different approach. Whether you like it or not, you got to admit the approach is totally different.
Yeah, yeah. And the Dems have an obstacle they haven't had before, because they normally just throw out their scare tactics during election season, and it seems to work. But you can't hide from the fact that when you're walking out of the grocery store, what things cost, your bills, rent, payments on different. You can't make stuff up and make numbers up. That's real, and that's what's resonating with people.
When you have a choice, I'm sorry, Adler. When you have a choice to make, and we'll do one A and B. Sometimes you just want to look at the two choices side by side. I find myself so that was one choice, which you just heard. Mm-hmm. Here's your other choice. Here's President Biden. A couple of clips of him yesterday. Here we go.
Third, next question.
Who do I
call on next? Hang on a second. I got my list here. Hang on. I apologize. Aurelia of AFP.
Yeah. I think you hear chirping is even screaming, get rid of this person.
Yeah. So again, these are supposed to be press conferences. They're mm-hmm. supposed to be questions asked by a reporter that the people want to know, and they write the story up. It's all scripted.
It is.
We've had the young lady from ESPN come out, talk about her interview, that mm-hmm. every word was scripted. She was not allowed to come off of that now that she's no longer employed and can mm-hmm. talk about it.
Whistleblower for NPR this week, talking about their policy.
And guys,
yeah, I mean, the whole thing is script. He's just brazenly, used to hide it. But
yeah,
now
he can't even fake it.
He can't fake. He's looking for the list. He knows the picture of the person, the question they're going to ask. He's already got a plan answer. I mean, you might as well not have this.
Well, don't even forget there's a world leader standing there, and he looks more uncomfortable than any of us. Is that the Japanese prime minister right now?
I think he had secondhand. I think he did.
Just think about what we just heard from Trump, going into Chick-fil-A, ordering milkshakes, everybody's loving, getting pictures, gripping and grinning, and then we flip over to the current president, and he's fumbling around with his notes, like y'all just said, looking for a script, and then says this next statement in 1B, on why we should elect him.
Oh, my gosh.
Elect me. I'm in the 20th century, 21st century.
Yes. Oh, 21st, right. Okay.
Yeah, he finally got it. Now, I thought you might be right on that first one.
The difference is so striking when you think about how Trump interacts with the black community. He just walked into Chick-fil-A. Biden's interaction is a studio-produced video in which he goes in a person's home. It's all pre-recorded. It's edited. Did y'all talk about that or cover that? I forget if we did or not. But he went into a North Carolina house and met with a family. But it was so scripted and set up, recorded and edited. Meanwhile, Trump can just walk straight into Chick-fil-A and be like, "Hey, everybody, how's it going?"
Yeah, Rick, we have several cuts dealing with inflation. And I think this is very important, this next segment, to see these clips and what's happening. Yep. If you want to have your eyes open totally on what's going on here.
Yep. Yep. We'll do that when we come back. They're funny, but they're revealing. When the Rick and Bubba show continues right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Knows everything costs more. It just could really be that simple. It's one of those things when you know that things cost more, it's because they do. And you can see them, and you can see the inflation. Now, you're about to hear some acrobats here. There's some acrobatics involving reporters, CNBC, Janet Yellen, Jim Clyburn, and it just turns into a mess for the Biden administration. Do you want to just start with two A's?
Yeah, let's just go 2A and run through this and listen to this breakdown. And it's kind of amazing how this all happened.
All right, so here
you'll see it live on.
Here's a reporter questioning Biden about inflation rising again. Here we go.
Last month, you predicted the Federal Reserve would cut interest rates thanks to falling inflation. But today, data showed that inflation rose more than expected for the third straight month. So how concerned are you about the fight against inflation stalling? And do you stand by your prediction for a rate cut?
Well, I do stand by my prediction that before the year is out, there'll be a rate cut. This may delay it a month or so. I'm not sure of that. We don't know what the Fed is going to do for certain. But look, we have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing. And we have a plan to deal with it, whereas the opposition, my opposition, talks about two things. They just want to cut taxes for the wealthy and raise taxes on other people. And so I think they have no plan. Our plan is one I think is still sustainable.
Even the bird is saying, sing another song.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. Sing another song. Sing it. Well, here are the facts that we have. Inflation's averaged 5.5% year after year under Biden. It averaged 1.9% under Trump. So him saying that inflation was out of control under Trump, that doesn't appear to be accurate.
So here is, again, another bastion of conservatism, CNBC, and their report on this.
Than expected. 3.5. This is three tenths hotter than we looked at in the rearview mirror, 3.2. To find a bigger number than 3.5, you're going back to May of last year when it was, September of last year when it was 3.7. And finally, what many would consider the most important number, year over year CPI core, 3.8. Hotter than expected equals the rearview mirror. To find a higher number, January was 3.9. And what's the lowest it's been of late? Well, 3.8. Our last look and what we have today actually is the lowest since 3.0 in April of 21. The issue is it's still running hot.
So there you have it. And you can you can unpack that or just, you know, fly at 50,000 feet. The bottom line is, things cost more, and they're going up again, even though Biden has said he has put things in place to bring inflation down. The real numbers on that, prices are now up 19.4%, and real wages are down. That is a bad crossing if you are a American family.
Well, Bob, up next, and one you were telling me about.
Oh, this is precious.
Here's a doozy. We're going to have Jim Clyburn tell MSNBC viewers that social media is convincing us that inflation's up.
Now, this is precious, too. And, yeah. Rick, I don't know if you remember who Jim Clyburn is. He's from South Carolina. He's a very important elected official there. He's a congressman, or I think he's a congressman. He is the one that actually saved Joe Biden. You remember Biden was floundering in the primaries, and South Carolina was going to be a big point. Can Biden actually pull this and get the numbers he need? And Clyburn came in and endorsed him and propped him up. Big win in South Carolina. Biden went on to get the nomination. So Clyburn has been very key in keeping and getting Joe Biden elected. He's very well respected. He's been around a long time. He is going to be talking about inflation. As you said, it's not real. It's perceived. MSNBC is going to break in, or CNBC is going to break in to tell you the numbers have just gone up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the real warning signs that I heard for the Biden campaign, Congressman. And that was that these undecided voters polled and then in this focus group showing that they are really suffering when it comes to interest rates, trying to buy a home, looking at their own personal economies, and they're feeling like they're being gaslit. They're feeling Joe Biden isn't accountable. What's your response to that, and how can the campaign address these feelings?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. I think that we have to focus on people's everyday lives. And 401ks are not about people's everyday lives.
What?
And I do believe, just from my own observations, from the conversations I've had with people, there are concern about things like inflation. But what we've got to get them to see is that inflation today is about 40% of what it was when Joe Biden took office. And so the inflation rates are down and people's incomes are up.
That is not accurate at all. I'm going to skip to 1 minute later here in this this clip here.
On social media, one of the focus group people talked about social media and the misrepresentation, disinformation, all of those things are out there, and that's the battle that we have to fight, and we've got to do a better job of fighting it more effectively.
So I'll validate that. I think the disinformation out there is distorting the entire process. I think social media doesn't help. But there's also a lack of validation that these voters feel. And I'm going to bring in Andrew Ross Sorkin right now because we just got breaking news. The consumer price index increased at a faster than expected pace last month, a signal that inflation remains stubbornly high. Let's bring in Andrew, co-anchor of CNBC Squawk Box. What will this mean to people in their everyday lives?
Well, I think this was a big surprise. It is accelerating. And, you know, we've been on this broadcast for months now about how the trend line was in President Biden's favor. Today, I imagine they're throwing a party in Mar-a-Lago because the truth is that right now, inflation has now moved in the opposite direction. So it's going to be harder for the administration to make the argument around this inflation trend line.
You mean like Jim Disruptor?
So you had Jim Clyburn just on there being interviewed from the office buildings at the Capitol. They have this little semi-dome at the end where all the media set up. And he is telling you things are great. The inflation is down. Social media is driving this. There's disinformation. People are buying this. It's not true. You are actually doing better than you thought.
Right.
MSNBC has to stop, break in. The new numbers are out for March. Inflation is worse. How embarrassing for Jim Clyburn.
And I love how, you know, what I call her Joe Scarborough's wife, how she tries who mind melded him, who she's even tried to save it and say, when I still believe what you're saying is right, even though what we're about to report is going to be in total conflict with
right,
her.
Right.
But I still believe what you're saying is right. Well, I bet you probably do, but I mean, it's
and the reporter made the point and drove it home. They're probably having a party in Mar-a-Lago right now because these numbers show that Biden's policies are not working. It's not disinformation. We all know it. We pay at the pump. We pay at the grocery store. We know what's happening, and the numbers from the independent department that has to figure all this confirms it.
My favorite is when they said stubbornly high. Inflation remains stubbornly high.
Yeah.
Phone calls next. Okay, it's already happened. Hey, it's already happened. Here's an email. I mean, Backyard Butchers, they haven't been advertising with us very long at all. Here's Steven. He just sent me this email yesterday out of Mayfield, Kentucky. Hey, Burge, I took the plunge. I tried the farmhouse box, and, man, I'm so glad I did. This is some of the best meat I've ever eaten, tender, juicy. Thanks for the plug for Backyard Butchers. I'll definitely be a subscriber for years to come. Right there. There's an email from yesterday right there. Get on board. It's time for you to go to backyardbutchers.com/Bubba. And here's what Backyard Butchers wants you to know. Just because you're rolling through the grocery store and you see a sticker that says product of the USA, all that means is it was packaged in America. It does not mean it was raised in America. It doesn't mean that. So Backyard Butchers is a Christian conservative, Texas-based company dedicated to delivering the best deals in the market on high-quality beef. Your box will include all born and raised American beef from ranchers right here in the heartland of America. So they're delivering American-raised and harvested meat right here in America from American farmers to American backyards to the dinner table across the nation, okay? They will not source beef from anyone else other than American farms. This includes their chicken, okay? And they deliver cuts right to the doorstep every month, grass-fed, grass-finished. The meat tastes amazing. So if you'd like to get started right now, go to backyardbutchers.com/Bubba. Now, we're gonna get you a 20% discount using the code Bubba. Now, if you decide to be a subscriber like Steven, then you'll get an additional 10% and free shipping. Okay, so backyardbutchers.com/Bubba. Get 20% off the entire order and additional 10% and free shipping if you subscribe. You're going to love this like Steven in Mayfield, Kentucky. I look forward to hearing from you. So, Bubba, it's almost like you're looking at the water and the water seems calm, and all of a sudden something can be said and out of nowhere the waters are turbulent. Have you enjoyed as much as I have the cone of silence, how long it's been since we've heard the term Hillary Clinton?
Oh, I know. I know.
Ah, you cursed rat! Look what you've done!
But, Rick, let me tell you, don't think for a minute. She's not standing on the sideline.
I know.
Ready to hold her hand up going, I can fill in for Joe if you need me.
I know. So, we have... I almost don't want to say this to you because it's
like saying Beetlejuice three times, isn't it?
If you're having a relatively peaceful day, I'm sorry about what's about to happen.
Yes, we will.
Hillary Clinton apparently has released a feminist theme Broadway musical.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we will.
As if Broadway musical wasn't enough.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to say the word. Is this right? The title of that correct, Adler?
Yes, yeah, suffs like suffragettes.
Okay.
What?
Suffrage.
Okay.
I got
women's
you.
Right to vote.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're called suffs, evidently. I've never heard of that.
When Hillary Clinton still is delusional that the way she has carried herself, being the wife of a womanizer and the way she responded, she's a champion for women?
Yes, right.
And feminist?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
Bubba, the last time I recall this, the women who made the accusations were not heard by Hillary and her band of whatever you would call those thugs that went after everyone who made an accusation against her husband.
You mean the, what was it called, the Bimbo Squad?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So... Adler, you terrify me by having a video clip today. What is this?
So this Suffs debuts on Broadway in April 18th. It will be debuting on Broadway. Look, I'm not saying anything against women. I've never done that, and I never would. But it has been delayed.
You've never done that?
This play has been delayed many, many times over, and I'm just saying that's a little bit difficult for women. Okay.
Right. There you go.
There it is.
All right, and I love what you put out by the side of it. Somehow, this play is worse than you even think it'll be.
Y'all want to hear it?
Okay.
Y'all.
Mad singing.
Yeah, they
we
are.
Demand, we, demand. Mad we, yeah, we yeah. demand, we demand.
How
I like to step forward when they go, we demand.
Yeah,
I'm going to lean into it.
Oh, my gosh. Right now, guys, let's just have a moment of silence. There are men everywhere. Oh, wow. And they have no idea. They're going through their day. And, you know, they've married some leftist. Are they dating one?
We demand.
And they're going to have their... girlfriend, wife, fiance, whatever. I would like for us to go on a date this weekend. And the guy thinks, that sounds great.
Yeah.
You know, what restaurant you want me to book? Oh, I want to go see Suffs.
More like sucks.
All right.
Yeah. All pretty right. good title. It's pretty close.
You know, again, and see, if I'm in the meeting, I go, we can't call it that because people will do exactly what Adler did.
Yeah. It's kind of like when Greg and I made the mistake of naming our first band Mystique, and then we set ourselves up for people hearing us and going, I believe that was actually a mistake. We were a little rough around the edges. But anyway.
We demand.
That's about as bad as it
gets. I demand for you to take me.
The only way I can live with this, and I can't, if you want to do the history of the plight of women, have at it.
Is that Susan B. out front there?
But please don't try to sell us, kind of like what we went through the other day with this, like the LGBTQ community and some group that is not seen and heard and catered to. My gosh, that we don't withhold anything from them. Women are seen. Women are heard. Women appear to be doing quite well from what I can see in here. They don't seem to be struggling. Anyway,
we demand it.
And you know, the guy's gonna have to pretend like he wants to go. This is much worse than watching a Hallmark movie. Much worse.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this is much because all these women are gonna shout at you, and they go to shout at you, and they're gonna, like I say, sing mad. They're gonna move mad.
Mm-hmm.
We demand.
We demand to be
heard. We demand to be heard. I'm gonna write one for men. We demand a break.
We demand
a say.
Some quiet time, please.
We demand you make up your ever loving mind.
I'm not getting into
this. I'm not either. I had like three. I wanted to scream. I was waiting on y'all. Y'all were so much smarter.
Yeah, I just, you know. I don't need it today.
You do care where we eat.
You do care what we wear.
I demand you keep up with your phone.
When's enough shoes?
I want some loving.
What did you say?
What did you say?
Can't believe that don't work.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I think you kind of got off the theme there a little bit.
I want some sugar at least once a week.
Oh, top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, an update on the story we've already brought
it's
you.
It's a Rick and Bubba news
update.
It's a Rick and Bubba news
update.
It's a Rick and Bubba
news update.
Morgan Wallen, Bubba, he's
what
learned
now.
He's learned his lesson. Morgan Wallen in trouble for throwing a chair from a rooftop bar, nearly hitting law enforcement officers. Federal offense. And it looks like he's learned his lesson. He's going to open a bar in Nashville. Morgan,
he can throw chairs out of his own bar.
Do you think he had this press release ready to go before the incident?
I think he did.
And now it's coming out. Don't you wish they could have pulled that one back? Ho, ho, ho.
I believe it was already set in motion.
Let's push that a few weeks.
Yeah.
Morgan Wallen is going to open a 6-story bar. Boy, this is worse.
Rick, that.
Called the bar, or this bar, in Nashville, Tennessee this year.
That's great.
Well, they want to get it high enough so you can throw a chair.
Right. It's so many one-liners here.
Timing is not great.
Right. His recent arrest seemingly won't get in the way. According to a PR expert, the chair-throwing incident may actually help the singer drive more business. Now, he's probably right about that.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Sadly. Didn't say that's a good thing.
Like it was by design.
So, as we know, he was arrested. The Metro Nashville Police Department wrote a statement that Wallen had been charged with 3 felony counts, as we said, reckless endangerment, and 1 count of misdemeanor disorderly conduct. But don't let that stop the opening of a new 6-story bar in Nashville. Bubba, does that just feel like, was there anybody that says, maybe we should just
let's just give it a little more time.
Well, I mean,
are they trying to play on it?
I started to say, was this stunt part of, because you didn't just come up overnight and go, I'm going to order, open a bar that size. Was that a little?
No, this has been in the works for a while.
Yeah. So, do you think that was a little stunt to help get some PR?
Well, here's what Teddy Jenkins says, president of Exit Stage Left Advisors, PR firm. He says Wallen's image is largely tied to a rowdy, hard singing, hard drinking, good old boy. An arrest for an incident like this, which came to the end of a night of partying, will arguably drive even more traffic to the bar. He says, I say that because of the nature of bar marketing as well as the general environment and atmosphere in Nashville these days. He said, now, if he was launching a children's book or doing some type of outward, philanthropy, which is a hard word for me and Speedy, his arrest might have a problem, but it won't have a problem considering what he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm opening a bar. He said it works right in.
You know, I could be wrong, okay, but I think in like 20, right after we got through the pandemic, I think he went and turned himself into one of these centers, rehab centers.
A little bit of a step back.
And so if you're having to check yourself in a few years ago into a rehab center, I don't know that the best idea is to open a bar.
Probably not.
Probably not.
You're trying to recover.
Probably not. It'd be like Bill Clinton starting a brothel.
Right.
Yes, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, yeah. So he's saying,
look, love the guy's music. He's obviously got some issues, but I just don't know that that's a good step if you're really trying to get better.
Yeah, you could. That's obvious. But do you think this is just part of the, when you're a country star, you have to open a bar in Nashville?
There's a bunch of them. These investors are reaching out and partnering up because it's the latest thing.
Right. Says he's hugely popular. He's very, very popular, even with the Michael Hems of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Yeah, I love his music.
Says this will have a positive impact in the PR firm's view. Mm-hmm. He says, you watch these loyal followers. This is the key. This is what, what they're playing on the PR firm is the day that we informed everybody about how we all give people a pass if we love them good enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he says, these listeners love him so much. And they're so loyal, they can't wait to come to the grand opening of this.
Yes.
No matter what he did. Right. No matter what he did.
Yeah.
And he has a song called Whiskey Glasses.
That's one of my favorites, by the way.
Okay.
That's a good song.
Says that this bar will be, as I mentioned, a one-of-a-kind six-story venue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be called This Bar in Tennessee Kitchen.
Right. This bar is also a song.
Okay. Yeah. Downtown Nashville.
Or an album. One of the
Lower Broadway District.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where they all are, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
He's from Sneedville, Tennessee, and he says he's bringing some Tennessee food to the kitchen.
Okay.
And says that it's going to have really delicious options on the menu that they've been creating. So, but I guess with six stories, you're going to have a lot of choices.
And as Bubba says, some great opportunities to throw chairs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Get on that top one.
Yeah. Bubba,
That might be an event they want to have there
that's
at some
a good
point.
Point. Oh. Talk to mullet me. Toss down in Floribama.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're not a lawyer, but you play one on the show.
No, not really.
Can anybody give me, I know we have a lot of lawyers out there, and we're going to take phone calls coming up next anyway, do a phone troll, but three felony counts?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds a little different than the misdemeanor deal that he's got to pay a fine over.
I know.
So, is that not going to get in the way? I mean, felonies.
What are they talking about from that incident?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's the claim?
Three felony counts of reckless endangerment.
Yes, because the police was right down there.
There's three officers
there. They nearly got hit with the chairs.
Yeah, I understand. But you wouldn't want anybody to get hit by a chair.
No, but felony charges, that's a biggie. A lot of times you see rowdy artists. I got out of hand. I got a misdemeanor. I paid a fine. I'm back. I wrote a song about it. Everybody loves me. Felonies, that's more of an uphill climb, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
a tough one. Think so.
I think it is if you've got a previous record.
Yeah, you don't want that chasing you around.
But I don't think he does.
Okay.
So I think he will get off a little lighter than most.
And let's live
in
the real world.
But the next time if something happens, it's going to be real.
Correct.
They'll offer him a little
plea. Let's live in the real world. Since he doesn't have, we don't know.
I don't know, but I don't think he's got a previous record.
Prior felonies.
Yeah.
So we also live in the real world. It really is true. He will be treated differently.
He will.
Because he's a celebrity.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
He has a better chance.
And if I'm opening a bar the same week, it's not a bad move. I mean, it appears sadly. To be, but it's really not.
Sadly? Sadly. Not saying that's the way the world should be.
No.
But yeah. It certainly is the way the world is.
Mm-hmm. If I was this PR firm, I would have said, look, I know we talked about making the news.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing the chair off was a little much.
Yeah, maybe we should have done something.
We probably
else.
Could have done something mm-hmm. else. But
maybe he got a speeding ticket.
Right. But with his backing and his finances, maybe he can get out of this. And mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll work some type of plea agreement. So he gets these felony counts dropped, I hope. Either that or the Metro Police are very upset.
They should be upset.
Three of their officers almost got hit.
They should be upset. Like I say, every time I look at my life, sadly, that I had any kind of interaction that was not positive with law enforcement, they were not the problem. I was the problem.
Yep.
And so in this case, they're not the problem. They should live in a reasonable world that should not expect chairs to be thrown at them from roofs.
I
know he wasn't throwing them at them, but they
still,
were there.
You could hurt somebody really bad with that.
Well, this is not a new topic for us. We have been talking about this for, even years prior to the launch of themanchurch.com, and that is that, we've got a nation that is in trouble, and anytime a society is in trouble, you can always walk it back to the men are in trouble. They have left their roles. They are no longer under the headship of Christ and kind of making it up as we go. The problem is we can't turn our influence off. So our influence is either negative or it's positive. There is no neutral. So, our brother Jason Whitlock with Blaze TV completely agrees and has created the Fearless Army and its annual roll call event for men. It's an all-day men's summit in Nashville. Invites, believers to fellowship together and also bring men that maybe are not redeemed, that need to hear the positive impact of being in the proper alignment with God and adopt that mindset and strategies to conquer the demonic forces tearing our country apart. As the men go, so goes society. So Jason's partner with country music star John Rich for Roll Call 2.0 presented by Preborn on Saturday, June 1st in Nashville. Come for great music, food, fellowship, and be transformed by the biblically inspired messages that will be delivered. Some of the speakers will be Jason himself, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, Glenn Beck will be speaking. As it says in Hebrews, godly men must come together, encourage each other toward love and good deeds. Would you like to be part of it? If you would, go to fearlessarmyrollcall.com to reserve your spot. Fearlessarmyrollcall.com, reserve your spot today. All right, so moving on, this is under the dang the luck. Okay. Anybody remember the movie Thelma and Louise?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty good movie.
Do you remember the how shocking it was the first time you didn't know how it ended?
I know.
And you were like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? Is this how this ends? Yeah. Am I clear without y'all losing? Rick's going to tell the ending. I mean, at this point, I can tell. Everybody
yeah, I
knows,
think so.
Right? Oh, come on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, right. yes.
Well, they drive off a cliff.
Yes, they do.
Which I don't think any of us saw coming.
No.
First time you saw it. Apparently, we have a man who's troubled, and don't want to be insensitive to that, clearly troubled. But I don't give a pass saying he's trouble when you go and try to hurt someone else. So apparently his plan was, unfortunately, that he would go and I'm looking for what he actually did in the story here.
Stabbed a family member, I believe.
He stabbed his wife.
Not good.
So. I looked for it to be in the story, but it's not here.
Right.
That he stabbed someone. And then he drove through the guardrail to drive off a cliff saying, I'm going out in a blaze of glory after I have hurt someone else. But he did not die in the crash.
No. Don't you know when he woke up? He's like, golly.
So, and what they did is they went, and even though he ended up going off the cliff, bounced off the beach and into the Long Island Sound, but they were able to get to the beach, officers, get him from the vehicle. He was uninjured for the most part and then got placed under arrest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You have a video.
That's quite a day.
Yeah. So here we go.
tonight with a wild police chase on the North Fork that ended with a car tumbling down a 50-foot cliff. And that vehicle wound up in the Long Island Sound, and the driver was arrested. News 12's Kevin Vesey joins us to explain how this all happened. Kevin.
And Antoinette, it's a miracle, quite frankly, that this person is still alive. This car chase went on for about 40 minutes, and at times it reached speeds of up to 100 miles per hour. Mm. And the way it ended, well, you've got to see it to believe it.
You're looking at a car that was launched off a 50-foot cliff after crashing through this wooden guardrail at the end of Sound Drive in Greenport. News 12 with exclusive drone footage showing the smashed Chevy being towed back up the steep, sandy bluff.
He drove through the guardrail and ended up off the cliff and bouncing off the beach and into the Long Island Sound.
South Hold Town Police Chief Martin Flatley says the improbable stunt was the end result of a police chase. Cops say the driver, 56-year-old Roger Foster, was initially pulled over shortly before noon today for allegedly slashing the tires of a relative's vehicle.
Okay.
The chase started in Peconic, went west to Riverhead, and then back east to Greenport.
We had the assistance of Riverhead PD as well.
Sharp.
The car then headed back east. And at speeds of over 100 miles an hour up on Route 48.
The car was a rental from Florida and was under 3 to 4 feet of water. Police officers rushed down the stairs to the beach and found the driver conscious with non-life-threatening injuries.
And it really is incredible that this person wasn't bad.
So was this an attempt to take his own life at the end of this, or was it just an out-of-control wreck?
No, look, he went through the end of the...
Yeah, but did he lose control of the car?
It's a dead end.
Yeah, I think he did it on purpose. Yeah.
I was impressed with that staircase.
I think this is now a bit of an overreaction to slashing somebody's tires.
Yeah.
I mean, originally we were talking about it, we thought he'd kill somebody who was trying to get away.
Just stab the car.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, I thought gracious, he, alive, just hang on. It probably won't be that bad.
Yeah, you get a little trouble.
Yeah, you have to get a whole new set of tires for it. But,
right. I
mean, running from the police, good.
You're going to be in trouble, and you're going to make good on slicing somebody's tires. I mean, we know you're mad. But when you think about it, he had a lot of things working against him. First of all, 50 feet, that's still good. But then you hit on a beach, which is sandy, and kind of catches the blunt. And you see the car did its job. By the way, whatever type of car this is our commercial.
I remember the guy who did try to kill his whole family in the Tesla that went off and they survived. I mean, that's a great ad right there.
It is.
A lot of times you need a little more, a higher cliff.
Well, you don't want to land on, you don't want to land on sand. Sand goes a long way to save you.
He thought it was bigger. He needed a much more. He needed a bigger ravine to go.
What about when all the airbags went off and all of a sudden he's completely conscious and he's sitting there?
He's like, I need to knock him out.
And I'm not. I have not. How about this? I don't mean to be. I know this is not good when this happens to people, but. He's not even enough water. I mean, the water is
no danger to him.
Yeah, it's only 3-4 feet of water. He can't even get the car under.
He's in trouble. He's tore his car up.
Oh yeah,
and now he's going to have to face the consequences of both.
Oh yeah.
The good news is, if they said it was a rental from Florida, well, I hope he got the insurance.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I mean, it's
he should have gone off the how do you say Chappaquiddick?
There it is.
A little bit higher.
Jerusalem. what we found here.
You know, if Teddy drove a Volkswagen, he'd have been president. Yep.
And I don't want to.
Good gracious.
I know this is going to sound a bit.
It was a famous ad.
It really was. You're 100% right.
I got it.
No, you're right. It's terrible. But it's true.
I know the first time I saw it, I thought, wow.
Well, politics is getting insensitive there. But again, this guy apparently has got some issues. He's slashing people's tires. He's mad. But Bubba and I were talking about, we hope he doesn't have the type of friends we do. Because our friends would be like, well, you can't even do that right.
Yeah.
I mean, you would be like, you try to go off a cliff.
And you know, when he first nosed down, he probably thought, oh, it ain't as high as I thought it was.
Right. Oh, my gosh, it's a beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick, no doubt. Our friends would be waiting for you to gain consciousness again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's the ad right there.
Either that or he thought
that was a real ad, by the way. Wow. And they would be going, hey, you can't even get that right.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, they're horrible. Or he was a Fast and Furious fan. He thought he would actually land and drive off.
Probably thought he was like a video game. Right. He thought that was real.
We don't. Yeah. We'll one day, I'm sure, we'll find out what he was doing. But, you know, when I first heard the story, thought he had stabbed somebody. didn't know if they were dead or alive.
Mm-hmm.
If you just slash somebody's tires, you shouldn't do that. No. That's a terrible way to behave.
Yeah.
And you can't do that to people just because you're mad. But I just don't think, well, what were you trying to take your own life? Well, I had no hope. Mm-hmm. What was I going to stay here and have to deal with cutting somebody's tires?
Wait a minute.
Or somebody's tires.
I make the decision to try to outrun a murder trial.
Try to outrun the police. I make a decision based on the fact that I cut tires. That's mm-hmm. it.
That's
it's
it.
Not a big deal.
Mm-mm.
As a matter of fact, don't even get in the car and run. When they come up to you and say, did you cut somebody's tires? Say, I was mad.
Yeah.
And then you probably work it all out with no problem with it.
You buy a couple tires, you're good.
Wow. Oh, wow. I just saw this. They just realized it was actually Morgan Wallen.
Oh, no.
And every police officer's down there.
It was Morgan Wallen.
Crazy. There he goes.
All right, so we have the Masters. Are we starting today?
The Masters.
Is that today?
It's going on right now, Rick.
Right now, the Masters. Yeah. How's the weather?
We teed it up and teed it off.
How's the weather?
It's not good.
It delayed things a couple of hours, but they've teed off on the opening round.
Pimento sandwiches, are they rolling?
They are.
How about I don't even like pimento sandwiches?
No, I don't either.
I've never liked pimento cheese.
I don't like the Mrs. Stratton's that you get, but mm-hmm. like the restaurant type.
Yeah,
and the more chips and all that's pretty good.
I love cheese, but I don't like pimento cheese.
I'm about a 5, 4.5 on pimento cheese.
I'm not a big fan either, but I did order one there.
Of course,
on the two times I went, just because it's you got to.
Yeah. And I bet in the category of pimento cheese, theirs is fantastic.
Yeah. Plus, I was hot and tired, and anything tastes good when you're hot.
The only time I'll dabble in pimento cheese is if it's a good pimento cheese and like people have it available to put on crackers.
Yeah, we have some people.
I'll dabble there.
Yeah.
They brought us some that was supposed to be famous one day at the old studio. I forget. It was one of the listeners. And it was the homemade pimento cheese, and it had them funny chips with it that I like so much.
I'm weird on pimento cheese. I like pimento cheese. I'll put it on crackers. I'll eat it on a sandwich. Mm-hmm. But some restaurants, they're like, oh, you know, you can have a hamburger and with pimento cheese on it.
And I'm like,
I can't go there.
Oh, no,
I don't know why.
That's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Oh, I had a chicken biscuit with it on it one time.
Really?
I think Bojangles had that going.
Do you like chicken biscuit?
Love them.
Mm.
Chicken and biscuit.
You know, it's hard to believe.
He went on, didn't he?
No.
Rick. Are you serious?
He was just in the news last week.
I think he had a heart attack or something.
Yeah,
okay. But he did not die.
Okay.
It's hard to believe it's been a year since the pine tree fell. Do y'all remember covering that last year?
No.
Don't remember us covering the Masters.
It fell while people were walking around.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember.
Remember Tiger Woods? It hurt his leg.
Greg, I'm going to slap you.
It did. Remember he was banged up? Oh, that was a car wreck. I'm sorry.
Okay, great.
Never mind.
All right, so y'all were educating me on this David.
Sorry. Now you know how I felt. He did the whole story and played the video and everything.
Dave
1 week
Portnoy, is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Barstool.
Yeah, so he was the creator, right, of Barstool, sold it for Big Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you tell me the people who he bought it from couldn't make it work like he did and they gave it back to him?
Or they got bought out and whoever, the new people didn't want it. But he basically got paid hundreds of millions and then he got it back for nothing.
Yeah. Who buys something for that and then gives it back?
I don't know.
Did they
have to take up some type of debt or something? I mean, that doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't. Mm. I may have part of the story wrong, but it's something like that.
So we're fine.
You're right, Greg. You're right.
I knew it. Dang it.
What is it? You don't know, Adler. What do you know about Barstool?
He knows all about it.
Yeah. I think he bought it back for like $1.
Yeah, it was something illegal.
Wow.
And he sold it for like, am I wrong? Is it like $500 million or hundreds of million?
I think it was $100 million. Yeah.
Who does he think he is? Dan Moultrie?
I don't understand how it worked, but he bragged about it a ton on social media.
Yeah.
All right. So he won. He says that he won $2 million on a bet that UConn would win back to back national titles.
Wow.
And it's now been revealed that he's got $300,000 on the Masters.
Yep. He's put his money on Scotty Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler.
It's a good little bet.
Is that old man Scheffler's boy?
Yeah. Number one in the world.
Talk to me about Scotty.
Scotty is the best right now.
Is he? Okay.
And
he is
one of the most humble, just nice guys you'll ever meet.
Yep.
Not that I've met him, but you just hear him.
Yeah.
Right. He's been good for a long time.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay. So that's
you like what you and him would get along. Really.
I like old Scotty.
Yeah,
100%. I don't have 100%. To call him Scotty, right?
No,
just Scott.
No. Let's just say this: the media edits out a lot of stuff he says in his post match
because he loves Jesus.
Yeah, we actually played some of that yesterday. He was asked in his press conference after the practice round what I guess he was what identified. Defines him. Yeah. And his answer was pretty cool. Are we playing it?
Oh, oh, awesome.
Okay. It's on in it, I think, at first. I want to say it might be 115. I can't remember, though.
Wow, throwing out a number.
Yeah, let's see if I'm right.
Start at 115 speed?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's close to it.
Nice questions, and then the next week I'm bad at it, and then some of the questions are viewed more negatively, and that's just kind of the, you know, the ebb and flow of competing in front of people all the time.
Here's 115.
Hey, can I follow up? What right do you there think defines you?
Gosh, I don't know. You probably have to ask my wife. No, I I'm a faithful guy. I believe in a creator. I believe in Jesus. Ultimately, I think that's what defines me the most. I feel like I've been given a platform to compete and, you know, show my talent. It's not anything that I did. You know, I think I sat up here a couple of years ago doing the interview after the 2022 Masters, and it's like, yeah, I was underprepared for what was about to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't, you know, I was very anxious that morning. I didn't know what to expect. And it's hard to describe the feeling, but I think that's what defines me the most is my faith. You know, I believe in one creator, and I've been called to come out here, do my best, compete, and glorify God, and that's pretty much it.
Amen.
Nice.
Yeah, and he went on to talk about junior golf before then, and he talks about in junior golf you see a lot of parents that are wanting their kids to be the next Tiger, and some of them probably want them to be the next Scotty. And he said it's all misguided because that's short-term success, which will never bring long-term happiness. And he talked about his main focus was his faith and how he was raised where golf wasn't a big deal. It was just something he did. His parents didn't obsess on him being the best.
That's right. Yeah.
So anyway, it was a pretty good interview. And he is he's going to see if he can win two out of the last three. And he's a top pick. So it's not a big stretch for him to put $300 million on it, but that's a lot of money for that bet.
Well, $300,000.
I'm sorry. Yeah, not $300 million.
Still, $300,000. That's a good little knock.
So that's pretty good bet. I guess.
Well, of course he's got it, but
yeah, he does.
Well, and see, that's the thing when they're able to take those kind of gambles.
Yeah, he's playing with house money
because they can lose it and it never, yep, never.
He's definitely in the house money area there.
Oh yeah. Especially if I'm still confused on how you can sell a company for half a, what was it? $500 million?
No, it was like $100 million. I was looking at
$100 million. Okay.
For what? I mean, you sold it for $10,000.
And somebody gives it back
to you. Why wouldn't they just give it to somebody else?
They sold it back to him for $1.
Why would they give it back to him?
He had to sign some kind of non-compete. I think he was about to start something. They were doing maybe a betting side or something.
What was the play on the people's part that gave it back?
So he was betting on betting?
Maybe, but
they just wanted out of it?
It's really confusing. I don't know.
Right. Okay.
But they sold it back, the stock, so that he had sold them back for $1.
Right. So okay, here it is. Portnoy paid 100 pennies to get Barstool Sports back. Penn Entertainment got a casino, an online gambling operator, but then they decided to cut Barstool loose, so they just basically just gave it back to him. I don't understand the deal at all.
So
it's crazy.
So they bought more than compete
against
them. They bought more than Barstool. They bought a list of things, sure, and they spun Barstool off and just gave it back.
You know, he's come a long way since his pizza slice reviews. Do you remember when he used to do that?
Yeah. He did one in Talladega at the race.
One slice.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, that's kind of what he...
Did I miss in the video? I didn't see a limb fall.
It was a tree.
The whole tree came down, Rick.
I didn't see it.
You
didn't
see
the people running.
Rick.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, how about old America out there?
How about old America?
What do you think about the old USA?
You know, I had grand hopes of when the show ended, leaving the country in a better state than we found it, but I don't think we're going to make it. At best, we've helped to slow the slide.
Well, when we first started the show and for years into the show, really up to relatively recent, we would say anytime we would talk about Europe, we would say, if you want to see the future of America, look to Europe. And then anytime we'd take a trip there, we'd come back and we'd go, I've been to the future. Remember all that? But now we are going so far away from the original intent of our founding fathers on the size of government and giving up liberty after liberty after liberty, the pandemic, we all completely lost our minds. You now may want to say, if you want to see the future of America, go to Beijing. It's not Europe anymore. We've gone past that. Pay attention to this video that Adler's got and see how some of this is going to feel uncomfortably close to the way our society turned during the pandemic
and
headed that way and continues to embrace some of the things that are the founders would have never tolerated. And so here is a little video about something in Beijing that is called what is it called? There's a word for it. 15-minute city.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go.
And this talks about the Corona app. Okay. That they introduced as a safety measure.
Of course, it hasn't gone away. But yeah, okay.
A green code on the health app is also required for buses and subways. Even access to apartments is now monitored. Everyone in Beijing lives within a gated compound with only one entrance. There are checkpoints everywhere. Wang Yu lives in the Beijing suburbs. Only after a heated argument do the security guards allow her into her own building without a scan. All visitors must also log in. No one knows what will happen tomorrow. Maybe the guard won't let me through, and I won't be able to get in. And this is all illegal. The Chinese government has turned the Corona app into a surveillance tool. Every time it's scanned, names and locations are passed on to the police.
That's scary.
Well,
welcome to Seattle.
For such a highly advanced socialist communist system, apparently dental care not important.
Not a big one there, Bubba. That's universal dental care. Take a big look-see.
She raises much cane like on this video, and she will not be around.
No. She will not. And so, but don't miss the larger point. What they're now using for all sorts of other things to really just have surveillance of their citizens and know what's going on with each individual and controlling everywhere they go, it started out as we're doing this to protect you. We're doing this for your safety.
Right.
You have to give up liberty. Of course, you don't have a lot. And living under a communist government, but remember what they were sold on, and it's the same thing we've been sold on. And look, Bubba and I have openly talked about this after the terrorist attacks. There were many people saying, "Look, this Patriot Act, they can't handle this kind of responsibility. You can't give them that kind of power, the government, even if you think it's going to make you safer." And looking back, the people concerned about it were right.
We
found out it went from we're only going to be doing surveillance on people we think are a threat to be terrorists, and come to find out we're using this technology to go after people who oppose us politically.
You know, when it was introduced and we heard the argument mostly coming from the left about this at the time, which is odd how it's flipped around.
Sure.
I thought the concerns were valid, but I thought the need for it outweighed that. And, you know, we didn't know how deep the terrorist networks were in the country. We just suffered an attack. We had no idea. Caught us completely off guard. And I thought, you know, this is a tool we're going to need to balance this out. But once again, you know, we have seen how when you give the government power, they will eventually abuse it because people are involved. And we've seen this in the Eric Snowden thing. And again, I don't know if he's a hero or a villain. But he did show us that there was a lot of abuse going on in some of this high-tech snooping.
Because here's how they look at it. Yes, this is here to help us break up terrorist cells and monitor terrorists within our country. And then somebody said, well, I tell you what else we can do with it.
Yeah.
We can also monitor people we don't like.
Yeah.
And
yeah, works pretty good for that.
Yeah.
Monitor people we don't like. I mean, we saw that, the Obama administration, through Biden, their surveillance of the Trump and lying to the FISA court to keep these things in place, which they were admonished for that. Not near as many people went to jail as needed to. I think one poor guy had to take the fall for all of it. But, you know, we had the higher ups at the FBI signing off on these things, and it troubles me to say that.
Well,
I don't want the FBI to be corrupt. I don't want the CIA. I don't want our government to be corrupt.
Well, we're going to do a podcast about it this weekend.
I know. You're going to do good on that.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling well.
Yeah, right. So that's
that. I've got a bit of a fever.
Well, you go back to I forget the name of the documentary, and I watched it. And it's basically a documentary about MacArthur and his church in California. And the MacArthurs and those like him need to be applauded because what they knew, that if the church bends right here and does not keep saying constitutionally you cannot do this, you have no say on what the church does. And many of the churches just collapse all over themselves. If they had not taken that stand, the reason why they took that stand, we've said this so many times, whatever liberty or right you give up under the most dire circumstances, they just look at that as going, well, they'll have to give it up now. Mm-hmm. They're terrified. When you give it up, if you think you're going to get it back, you're incredibly naive. They'll never give it back.
Nope.
Once you give the central government ground and they take it, they do not give it back.
Nope.
And unless, of course, you know, you do some kind of big overhaul in election and put people in there that are willing to give it back.
Well, just look at locally. Do you ever see these things given back? Do you ever see homeowners associations going, you know, we've been a little testy with these trash cans?
No.
Yeah.
No.
It only goes the other way. You know, I mean, it always goes the other way.
And then I'll go further.
I mean, I wish history said something different, but it doesn't. I don't want to be negative because I am an optimistic person overall.
Now, wait,
but there's times you just cannot deny what's going on. You know?
Well, and then
what history is.
You look at using fear. It's like Patrick Henry really summed that up. He said, give me liberty or give me death.
Mm-hmm.
So if you said to Patrick Henry during the pandemic, if you don't give up these liberties, you might catch COVID. You know, he said, well, I'd rather have COVID than not be free.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a fact.
Especially with a survival rate of 99%. But I mean, it's saying, what life do you have if you've given up all your liberty to be even safe? You have no life. So I'm safely in a no life.
Yeah.
I'd rather be at risk in a free life.
Safely in a no life.
Yeah. And you know, and then on the back to the much more important spiritual side, when the Apostle Paul said, look, to live is Christ, to die is gain. What am I afraid of?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In another example of the Bidens targeting political opponents, did y'all see that the lady that found Ashley Biden's diary? Ashley Biden is the diary where we got all that weird, creepy stuff about
showering with daddy.
Oh, so,
I forgot about that.
She found Ashley Biden's diary, sold it to Project Veritas, and she's going to be going to jail for a month for that.
Saw that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Saw that update.
I love the side by sides of all the repeat.
Now, what law did she break? What's the deal on
They're
that?
They're saying
she stole it.
They're saying she stole it, but the diary was left at a beach house. I don't know how you can steal something that's left.
Well, the Bidens will leave stuff behind, won't they?
They really will.
Diaries, laptops,
guns,
blank checks, documents in the garage.
Yeah.
We'll be back. More Rick and Bubba coming up right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
We keep talking about the misuse of the word trigger. If I hear another person that has not been on the front lines of combat and is suffering some sort, has something in their life that has been traumatic, that's what the triggering means. One or two things. You either are struggling with your mental wellness, you've been through some sort of trauma that things may trigger that traumatic event in your life. PTSD would be one, and things like that.
I mean, that's a real thing.
Though. Yeah. Triggering. If you're angry about something or something makes you uncomfortable because you don't prefer it, that's not a trigger. We are overusing. What are we going to gaslight trigger now? I mean, we are throwing gaslighting and triggering around like it's no tomorrow.
Oh, it's the catchphrase.
Bubba, in your country, a Seattle dance squad said they were told that American flag shirts made audience members feel triggered. And the flag has triggered someone and made them feel, you ready? Unsafe.
Well, you know what you need to do is get out then. Hey, take a hike, pal.
Pal.
Go somewhere you won't have to look at stars and bars.
Hoss and Hosses.
Pay you some money to the cartel, move down to Mexico.
No. But listen, nobody's trapping you here. You're right. There is no rule that says you must stay here.
Look, we're trying to stop people from coming in the border. Getting out is fairly easy. Really. Yeah,
you know what we need to say now? You're right. You know what we need to say to people like this in our country that say the flag makes them feel unsafe? It makes them feel unsafe. They're triggered by the flag on a shirt of a dance squad. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute, but you remember this? And I can't remember which pastor it was, and I loved it. It was the church was at its all-time high. People were flooding in. They had people in folding chairs, and he got up in the pulpit, and he'd gotten complaints about something. He said, "Let me tell some of y'all that are complaining. Why don't y'all do this? Why don't y'all leave? We need the room. Yeah, frankly, we need the room.
Yeah,
why don't y'all leave? We got people excited about it.
We don't want to trigger you. We don't want to force you. We don't want you to have nightmares, troubles, and be all tore up about it. So just why don't you excuse yourself? We need the room.
We need the room. We got people flooding into the border illegally. Mm-hmm. And if y'all don't want to be here, let's give these people some space.
That's it.
But guys, I can't get past it. It's one thing to say, hey, the dance squad, I'm anti-America. I think the country's evil, and I don't really like the flag on their shirt. I don't want my dog wearing the flag. Okay, I mean, you're still a Nimrod, but you kind of go, that's your thing, man. To take it to the level of saying that a flag shirt on a dance team makes you feel triggered, and then you add the word unsafe.
Yeah.
You got bigger problems than the dance squad.
Yep.
And by the way,
who are they scared of? The dance squad?
Yeah, the flag on their shirt.
I know.
Makes them feel unsafe.
But the unsafe part.
I guess they think a dance squad wearing the American flag might come in the audience and start kicking people in the face? What are they talking about? Well, do they think they're going to colonize? Right? They're going to colonize the audience, the Seattle dance squad? What are you talking about?
You know, there's just a point where you are just, I hate to use the term this way, but you're just so dumb that I can't even talk to you about it. You know, this would be one of those.
And, you know, there was a time, and I know this is worn out, and this is where we start sounding like crotchety old men, but there was a time.
I know Ron White saying, I know.
Right. How about you? There was a time when you would have been embarrassed to even suggest that a flag on a dance team shirt made you feel triggered and unsafe. Even if it did, you wouldn't tell anybody.
No, you just keep it inside.
Rick, evil governments and empires throughout history. Mm-hmm. And we've had several, and some of them were very good at branding their marketing and showing their flag. If I see that today, it doesn't trigger me. I go, well, I know what it is. I know what it stood for, and I certainly don't agree with that. But it doesn't trigger me. It's a flag.
Oh, I know. Unsafe. So, Jason.
Yeah, that's the part I can't get.
Jason Rantz, who we've had on RBU, and he does a show out of Seattle. He did an interview with some of these folks on the Borderline Dance Team, I guess is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And right before they were performing, they were approached and said that a small group were offended. It triggered them on the Hamas Israel war and transgender issues, because I understand, wasn't this an LGBTQ event of some kind?
No, or this particular group that complained as a part of
it. I guess
it is. It was mentioned in the story.
Yeah, or it says organizers for the Rain Country Dance Association and LGBTQ dance community were the ones that said a small group were triggered.
Okay. So instead of telling them if you don't feel safe, you can leave.
Mm-hmm. You know, the irony of all this is they, you know, we're going to tear down our democracy as we have it today and destroy civilization as we know it. And once the socialist and then the hardline communists take over in years to come, they'll get rid of this problem.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was about to say
you
that,
don't
Bubba,
have this problem in China.
If it's LGBTQ people in the audience and some of the dance people that say the American flag makes them feel triggered and unsafe.
The American flag is what's keeping them alive.
Thank you.
Today.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
You don't see how some of these other flags handle.
If they
at.
Came out with a Hamas symbol, you got problems. You might want to feel unsafe. Any of the of these evil, tyrannical countries, your life in these countries is nothing compared to the freedom and the liberty you enjoy here. That you should celebrate that flag.
Do you remember when Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, leader of Iran, came to the U.S.?
Leaving a part of it out.
But that's all right. As close as he's ever been.
Look,
Ahmadinejad.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
There it is.
I liked it the way he said it the first time.
I did too.
It was better. I may be wrong.
Do you remember when he came on his U.S. tour and was speaking and was asked about gay rights and all this in his country? He said, "We don't have gay people," and everybody laughed. They're like, "Oh, you're just you're not informed. You don't know they're out there." No, he really meant it because they don't allow it and they get rid of you if you have that issue.
Yeah. So if we got a dance team that's got Iranian flags on, maybe that would bother you. But not American flags.
No.
No.
We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
A bit of breaking news as we head to the break. It appears that O.J. Simpson has passed, according to published reports.
Are you being straight up?
Straight up? At 76.
Yeah, after cancer.
Watch battle. It. Oh, he must keep it.
He was canceled, but you're talking about cancer.
I said that.
That is breaking news, and we are getting confirmation from many emailers.
Okay. I guess they kept that under
I know I broke my record there, my policy.
But I saw you with holding.
That seems like a pretty big deal today.
So it looks like that the juice went on in.
Did you get it out of Twitter world?
It actually is from his prostate family. Cancer. It says on April 10th, our father, his battle with cancer, he has passed away.
Anybody knew Juice was in like a life battle?
No, I mean, we've had him on some of his social media posts. You know, some of it was pretty funny. He didn't look unhealthy. No,
not only did I not know he wasn't battling life threatening cancer, I didn't know he was battling cancer at all.
No, I didn't either. His last post was on February the 11th.
Oh, really?
So that's been a while, yeah.
Wow, man.
And he used to post like every other day. We probably should have picked up on it.
All right, so O.J. Simpson apparently is dead at the age of 76, had cancer, didn't know that.
Rick, I got to read you this email. It comes from Jeremy Thornton.
All right. It
says, "Hey, guys, I was trying to be sharp and be the first one to break the O.J. news to y'all. And as I opened my email, Bubba broke protocol and made the announcement. I mean, you can't even have a big news story to tell."
Hey, Bubba can't even stick with his protocol.
That was too big.
That was bold of you, too, to throw that out there.
Thank you.
I
know
it.
That's me, baby.
Everybody in here discussing, did O.J. finally admit it before he went on in?
I want to know.
Did he have any kind of deathbed confession, pro or con?
You know, Bubba, you made probably the most profound statement when you said, "I think he's done convinced himself he didn't do it."
No question.
I think you have to carry on.
I think O.J. had that personality. He was at the narcissist level. He could gaslight himself.
Oh, absolutely.
and that is one of the great things that people that there's have not that many mental that can disorder do that, can
but,
do that.
Right, but they can.
Yeah. You wonder if, like, one of the older kids, you know, he was like, "Come here."
How would he say it?
"Come here to me."
I'm sure. You know, don't you know one of
the man of a thousand voices has dying O.J.?
Well, I'm just thinking.
What was the deal? What really happened?
He leans down. Yeah.
Well, you don't know what state he was in. You don't know how long he was unable to communicate at all.
Yeah.
You know, you might say, "I'm going to do a deathbed confession," and then you don't realize I'm in a coma. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Really, I couldn't tell
you know, some of his posts he had were funny and entertaining. You know, we've played several of them over the years.
Oh, Twitter world?
Well, the thing.
But I want to know that. I guess he just wore himself out looking for Nicole's killer. He said he was going to dedicate the rest of his life to that.
I didn't think you were going.
Apparently he had a lead that the killer played golf all over the country.
He was right on the tee box right behind him.
I mean, he just died a few minutes ago, but I thought you would wait.
What he said.
Who am I? So here's the tweet from his family. And then during the time he was surrounded by family, he said he did it, the Simpson family.
No, it does not say. You added that. You added that.
But guys,
you added that. Let's
get him running the show highlights now. He can run the ball.
He was a great athlete. He was funny acting. Dang. It's a tragedy all that either happened or he went through, one or the other.
I just hope that they have gloves that fit him in heaven, you know.
They'll do this.
You know, there's going to be so much of that today.
In a strange place I find myself. I'm up in the stands right now. I'm not getting on the field.
I have
a million of them.
I'm done.
Just wait.
Microphone off.
Wait till the memes start hitting this.
Babylon B. Goodness. Babylon. Their riders are running into their offices right now.
They're like speeding through red lights to get to the office.
Z93, Austin, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Green Acres, guys.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Go.
I just want to touch base on the importance of Trump being in Atlanta yesterday, kind of bridging the gap with racism. I mean, me for one, I was put in the hospital for 2 weeks with the skinheads. They beat me up pretty bad. It was a real brutal initiation.
Oh, wow. You're terrible.
What do you think? That's awful. I wasn't paying attention.
He said he was beat up in an initiation.
He said I was in the hospital for a long time because I got beat up by the skinheads. It was a rough initiation. Terrible. Horrible.
Guys, that's awful. What's the joke there? Somebody help me, I guess,
to call up and, like I said a minute ago, we no longer can say, I'm not going to do that because that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
He should have come to the platform and asked us what we thought about it. We said, don't make that call. That's stupid.
Right. Rick, the people in New Jersey are just beside themselves right now. Have you seen what happened now? Did you see the meteor that went through there?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I was afraid you were going to say that OJ's ghost.
No. Well, that could be one thing.
Yeah.
So in a matter of a week and a few days, New Jersey has had a earthquake, they've had a solar eclipse, and now they have had a meteor go blazing through the sky.
Which can also be caused by global warming.
Yeah, right.
All of these, and of course, the View is probably going to shut down over there.
Right. Well, I heard you walking and talking about this. I guess you read it earlier saying, but this time of year, we always have
We have meteor showers, and we have them all the time anyway. Mm-hmm. But just you put all that together with all the spook everybody's got going. I mean,
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal.
Gulf Shores.
Real windy, too. Dine.
Sunny 105.
Yeah. Add that to it.
John, go ahead.
Well, there's these people that are hollering about the oil companies being prosecuted because of the climate change and all. If they ride in their gas-powered cars or fly anywhere in their fuel-operated planes, isn't that willful and want on their part because they know that it's tearing up the atmosphere?
Good point.
Absolutely. You got to go after them.
Couldn't understand it, but it's a good point.
And I hate to say this, somebody else who has been a culprit in this and they've been an associate in this crime is the government that building highways.
Yeah.
If we didn't have highways, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
That's true. Let's throw them in there, too.
I mean, they are the great enabler in this.
That's a good point.
Isn't that shocking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go to JR, Sweet Home, Alabama. JR, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Greg, pay attention now, okay?
All right, buddy.
The other day, I heard on the radio on y'all's show that Biden was talking about, I grew up Jewish, I grew up Catholic, Spanish, and all that. And if we were trying to get a dog registered, wouldn't it actually come back as a mutt?
As a mutt.
Big time.
I think that's a compliment to him, calling him a good old mutt.
No. Yeah, well, he's making some mutually exclusive religious comments.
He's been in synagogue. Everybody realize how many synagogues, probably more than you.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody that can take one weekend and appear at so many different places of worship.
Every religion covered.
Right. Ann, Birmingham, Alabama. Ann, go ahead.
Hey, I'm just wondering if y'all may have talked about it, and I didn't hear it, but if y'all talked about this thing with the Congress voting on the Fourth Amendment to put that it's going to take away our privileges.
I'm not familiar with what you're talking about. I'm sorry, the Fourth Amendment, you said?
Our Fourth Amendment.
We're voting to do away with it, or what are you saying?
No, they're voting to put, like, they would put police officers in our homes, and they're not allowed to do that right now.
Buddy. Are you talking about...
Let's go move.
You're talking about there's a mention about quartering troops in the Constitution. I don't know the police officers are in there.
How you doing, Rick?
And if they're in your house, what are they? They just going to hang out like the school resource officer?
The Fourth
officer?
Amendment protects citizens from unreasonable searches and seizures by the government. However, it is not a guarantee against searches and seizures, but only those that are deemed unreasonable under the law.
Yeah, I don't see how that would equate. Law enforcement people are going to start living in our houses. Yeah. That's back.
You got to feed them.
Yeah, that's back to. I think this is probably maybe things you.
Hey, why are you here? Once you cut the grass.
Not sure where you saw that story, ma'am. It might be something on social.
Yeah, or we
media,
don't understand.
Here comes Adler.
The Third Amendment is the quartering amendment.
Right.
But she said fourth.
Right.
I know it's hard to understand.
I know what she said.
Yeah,
slowly.
But
I'm reading here. That's the Third Amendment.
But why is she saying that we're under some threat?
that we're going to now start putting police in people's homes, which violates
that's
the Third
how
Amendment,
you, Rick.
Better known as the Fourth Amendment.
I don't. I'm trying to look for it, so she may be ahead of the news.
Right.
She was a little vague.
Third Amendment: No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law.
Is she saying people are going to try to change that?
Police moving in your house.
You can't change the Constitution just because somebody's voting on it today.
Imagine her being
all the states have to do this. It's years and years to change. Rick and Bubba.
Hey, it's Rick and Bubba. Plan on gathering right here tomorrow for a brand new Rick and Bubba show.
Oh, Rick, it's going to be a busy show. It's the Friday edition. We'll kick off the weekend. The Elite Eight will be here. We'll spin the giant wheel of meat. More on OJ's death and a whole lot more.
All tomorrow on a brand new Rick and Bubba show. Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.